Welcome to The Mildly Interesting with Oliver Wilson, the official bedtime podcast of former insomniacs. Tomorrow is Tuesday, November 16th, Button Day. The National Button Society established Button Day as a celebration for all who enjoyed collecting and crafting with buttons. The buttons you collect can be used for many different things, like repairing clothes with missing buttons. Buttons are an excellent source of craft ideas, such as picture frames, clocks, purses and bags, headbands, costume jewelry, lampshades, and even shoes. Everyone appreciates the job buttons perform, but have you ever wondered about its history? Well, I have. And I think you might just find it mildly interesting. Subscribe to The Mildly Interesting on Apple Podcast, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are available. We'll be right back. In modern clothing and fashion design, a button is a small fastener, now most commonly made of plastic but also may be made of metal, wood, or seashell, that joins two pieces of fabric together. In archaeology, a button can be a significant artifact. In the applied arts and craft, a button can be an example of folk art, studio craft, or even a miniature work of art. Buttons are most often attached to articles of clothing, but can also be used on containers such as wallets and bags. However, buttons may be sewn onto garments and similar items exclusively for purposes of ornamentation. Buttons serving as fasteners work by slipping through a fabric or thread loop or by sliding through a buttonhole. Other types of fastenings include zippers, Velcro, and magnets. Buttons and button-like objects used as ornaments or seals rather than fasteners have been discovered in the Indus Valley Civilization during its Kot-Digi phase, circa 2800 to 2600 BC, a black albertite button at the Tomb of the Eagles, Scotland, 2200 to 1800 BC, as well as Bronze Age sites in China, circa 2000 to 1500 BC, and ancient Rome. Buttons made from seashell were used in the Indus Valley Civilization for ornamental purposes by 2000 BC. Some buttons were carved into geometric shapes and had holes pierced into them so that they could be attached to clothing with thread. Ian McNeil, 1990, holds that the button was originally used more as an ornament than as a fastening, the earliest known being found at Mohenjo-Daro in the Indus Valley. It is made of a curved shell and about 5,000 years old. Egypt's 18th dynasty left behind ornate wig covers, fabricated through sewing buttons formed of precious metals onto strips of backing material. Leatherwork from the Roman Empire incorporates some of the first buttonholes, with the legionary loculus, satchel, closed through the insertion of a metallic buckle, or button into a leather slit. A similar mechanism would later feature in early medieval footwear. Buttons appeared as a means to close cuffs in the Byzantine Empire and to fasten the necks of Egyptian tunics by no later than the 5th century AD. Functional buttons with buttonholes for fastening or closing clothes appeared in Germany in the 13th century. They soon became widespread with the rise of snug-fitting garments in 13th and 14th century Europe. Since at least the 17th century, when box-like metal buttons were constructed especially for the purpose, buttons have been one of the items in which drug smugglers have attempted to hide and transport illegal substances. At least one modern smuggler has tried to use this method. Also making use of the storage possibilities of metal buttons, during the World Wars, British and US military locket buttons were made, containing miniature working compasses. Because buttons have been manufactured from almost every possible material, both natural and synthetic, and combinations of both, the history of the material composition of buttons reflects the timeline of materials technology. Buttons can be individually crafted by artisans, craftspeople or artists from raw materials or found objects, for example fossils, or a combination of both. Alternatively, they can be the product of low-tech cottage industry or can be mass-produced in high-tech factories. Buttons made by artists are art objects, known to button collectors as studio buttons, or simply studios, from studio craft. In 1918, the US government made an extensive survey of the international button market, which listed buttons made of vegetable ivory, metal, glass, galalith, silk, linen, coffin-covered crochet, lead, snap fasteners, enamel, rubber, buckhorn, wood, horn, bone, leather, paper, pressed cardboard, mother of pearl, celluloid, porcelain, composition, tin, zinc, xylonite, stone, cloth-covered wooden forms, and papier-mâché. Vegetable ivory was said to be the most popular for suits and shirts, and papier-mâché far and away the commonest sort of shoe button. Nowadays, hard plastic, seashell, metals, and wood are the most common materials used in button making, the others tending to be used only in premium or antique apparel, or found in collections. Over 60% of the world's button supply comes from Qiaotu, Yongjia County, China. Historically, fashions in buttons have also reflected trends in applied aesthetics and the applied visual arts, with button makers using techniques from jewelry making, ceramics, sculpture, painting, printmaking, metalworking, weaving and others. The following are just a few of the construction and decoration techniques that have been used in button making. Shank buttons have a hollow protrusion on the back through which thread is sewn to attach the button. Button shanks may be made from a separate piece of the same or a different substance as the button itself, and added to the back of the button, or be carved or molded directly onto the back of the button, in which latter case the button is referred to by collectors as having a self-shank. Flat or sew-through buttons have holes through which thread is sewn to attach the button. Flat buttons may be attached by sewing machine rather than by hand, and may be used with heavy fabrics by working a thread shank to extend the height of the button above the fabric. Stud buttons, also push-through buttons or just studs, are composed from an actual button, connected to a second, button-like element by a narrow metal or plastic bar. Pushed through two opposing holes within what is meant to be kept together, the actual button and its counterpart press it together, keeping it joined. Popular examples of such buttons are shirt studs and cufflinks. Snap fasteners, also pressure buttons or press studs, are metal, usually brass, round discs pinched through the fabric. They are often found on clothing, in particular on denim pieces such as pants and jackets. They are more securely fastened to the material. As they rely on a metal rivet attached securely to the fabric, pressure buttons are difficult to remove without compromising the fabric's integrity. They are made of two couples, the male stud couple and the female stud couple. Each couple has one front, or top, and rear, or bottom, side, the fabric goes in the middle. Yakubovitz loop, also known as a Jennifer button, are small metal loop-like fasteners normally made of silk. They arrived in America from Poland in the early 20th century, and made their way onto children's shoes during the 1920s. They became a popular staple in schoolyards for holding dandelions. Covered buttons are fabric-covered forms with a separate back piece that secures the fabric over the knob. Mandarin buttons or frogs are knobs made of intricately knotted strings. Mandarin buttons are a key element in Mandarin dress, Chi Pao and Chongsam in Chinese, where they are closed with loops. Pairs of Mandarin buttons worn as cufflinks are called silk knots. Worked or cloth buttons are created by embroidering or crocheting tight stitches, usually with linen thread, over a knob or ring called a form. Dorset buttons, handmade from the 17th century to 1750, and death head buttons are of this type. The size of the button depends on its use. Shirt buttons are generally small and spaced close together, whereas coat buttons are larger and spaced further apart. Buttons are commonly measured in lignee, also called lines and abbreviated L, with 40 lignee equal to 1 inch. For example, some standard sizes of buttons are 16 lignee, 10.16 mm, standard buttons of men's shirts, and 32 lignee, 20.32 mm, typical button on suit jackets. The American National Button Society, NBS, has its own button sizing system which divides button sizes into small, medium and large. Some museums and art galleries hold culturally, historically, politically, and/or artistically significant buttons in their collections. The Victoria and Albert Museum has many buttons, particularly in its jewelry collection, as does the Smithsonian Institution. Hammond Turner & Sons, a button-making company in Birmingham, hosts an online museum with an image gallery and historical button-related articles, including an 1852 article on button-making by Charles Dickens. In the US, large button collections are on public display at the Waterbury Button Museum of Waterbury, Connecticut, the Keep Homestead Museum of Monson, Massachusetts, which also hosts an extensive button archive, and in Gainesville, Illinois at the Button Room. The mainly American tradition of politically significant clothing buttons appears to have begun with the first presidential inauguration of George Washington in 1789. Known to collectors as Washington inaugurals, they were made of copper, brass or Sheffield plate, in large sizes for coats and smaller sizes for breeches. Made in 22 patterns and hand-stamped, they are now extremely valuable cultural artifacts. Between about 1840 and 1916, clothing buttons were used in American political campaigns, and still exist in collections today. Initially, these buttons were predominantly made of brass, though horn and rubber buttons with stamped or molded designs also exist, and had loop shanks. Around 1860, the badge or pinback style of construction, which replaced the shanks with long pins, probably for use on lapels and ties, began to appear. One common practice that survived until recent times on campaign buttons and badges was to include the image of George Washington with that of the candidate in question. Some of the most famous campaign buttons are those made for Abraham Lincoln. Memorial buttons commemorating Lincoln's inaugurations and other life events, including his birth and death, were also made, and are also considered highly collectible. Componophobia, the fear of buttons, is a surprisingly common phobia. Sufferers frequently report being repulsed by the sight of buttons, even on other people, and being unable to wear clothing with them. Sufferers also report buttons being dirty and smelling. The phobia may bear some passing resemblance to trypophobia, and obsessive-compulsive disorder, but is separate and distinct. When we return, textile. A textile is a flexible material made by creating and interlocking bundles of yarns or threads, which are produced by spinning raw fibers, from either natural or synthetic sources, into long and twisted lengths. Textiles are then formed by weaving, knitting, crocheting, knotting, tatting, felting, bonding, or braiding these yarns together. The related words fabric and cloth and material are often used in textile assembly trades, such as tailoring and dressmaking, as synonyms for textile. However, there are subtle differences in these terms in specialized usage. A textile is any material made of the interlacing fibers, including carpeting and geotextiles, which may not necessarily be used in the production of further goods, such as clothing and upholstery. A fabric is a material made through weaving, knitting, spreading, felting, stitching, crocheting or bonding that may be used in the production of further products, such as clothing and upholstery, thus requiring a further step of the production. Cloth may also be used synonymously with fabric, but often specifically refers to a piece of fabric that has been processed or cut. The word textile comes from the Latin adjective textilis, meaning woven, which itself stems from textus, the past participle of the verb texere, to weave. Originally applied to woven fabrics, the term textiles is now used to encompass a diverse range of materials, including fibers, yarns and fabrics, as well as other related items. The word fabric also derives from Latin, with roots in the Proto-Indo-European language. Stemming most recently from the Middle French fabrique, or building, thing made, and earlier from the Latin fabrica, workshop, an art, trade, a skillful production, structure, fabric, the noun fabrica stems from the Latin faber, or artisan who works in hard materials, which itself is derived from the Proto-Indo-European dab, meaning to fit together. The word cloth derives from the Old English clath, meaning a cloth, woven or felted material to wrap around one's body, from the Proto-Germanic kalithas, similar to the Old Frisian clath, the Middle Dutch kleet, the Middle High German kleit, and the German kleid, all meaning garment. The precursor of today's textiles includes leaves, barks, fur pelts, and felted cloths. The Banton burial cloth, the oldest existing example of warpike at in Southeast Asia, displayed at the National Museum of the Philippines. The cloth was most likely made by the native Asian people of the Northwest Romblon. The first clothes, worn at least 70,000 years ago, and perhaps much earlier, were probably made of animal skins and helped protect early humans from the elements. At some point, people learned to weave plant fibers into textiles. The discovery of dyed flax fibers in a cave in the Republic of Georgia dated to 34,000 BC suggests that textile-like materials were made as early as the Paleolithic era. The speed and scale of textile production have been altered almost beyond recognition by industrialization and the introduction of modern manufacturing techniques. Textiles have an assortment of uses, the most common of which are for clothing and for containers such as bags and baskets. In the household, textiles are used in carpeting, upholstered furnishings, window shades, towels, coverings for tables, beds and other flat surfaces, and in art. In the workplace, textiles can be used in industrial and scientific processes, such as filtering. Miscellaneous uses include flags, backpacks, tents, nets, handkerchiefs, cleaning rags, transportation devices such as balloons, kites, sails, and parachutes. Textiles are also used to provide strengthening in composite materials such as fiberglass and industrial geotextiles. Textiles are used in many traditional handcrafts such as sewing, quilting and embroidery. Textiles produced for industrial purposes, and designed and chosen for technical characteristics beyond their appearance, are commonly referred to as technical textiles. Technical textiles include textile structures for automotive applications, medical textiles, such as implants, geotextile, reinforcement of embankments, agrotextiles, textiles for crop protection, protective clothing, such as clothing resistant to heat and radiation for firefighter clothing, against molten metals for welders, stab protection, and bulletproof vests. Due to the often highly technical and legal requirements of these products, these textiles are typically tested in order to ensure they meet stringent performance requirements. Other forms of technical textiles may be produced to experiment with their scientific qualities and to explore the possible benefits they may have in the future. Threads coated with zinc oxide nanowires, when woven into fabric, have been shown capable of self-powering nanosystems, using vibrations created by everyday actions like wind or body movements to generate energy. Textiles are made from many materials, with four main sources: animal, wool, silk, plant, cotton, flax, jute, bamboo, mineral, asbestos, glass fiber, and synthetic, nylon, polyester, acrylic, rayon. The first three are natural. In the 20th century, they were supplemented by artificial fibers made from petroleum. Textiles are made in various strengths and degrees of durability, from the finest microfiber made of strands thinner than one denier to the sturdiest canvas. Textile manufacturing terminology has a wealth of descriptive terms, from light gauze like gossamer to heavy grosgrain cloth and beyond. Animal textiles are commonly made from hair, fur, skin or silk, in the case of silkworms. Wool refers to the hair of the domestic sheep or goat, which is distinguished from other types of animal hair in that the individual strands are coated with scales and tightly crimped, and the wool as a whole is coated with a wax mixture known as lanolin, sometimes called wool grease, which is waterproof and dirtproof. The lanolin and other contaminants are removed from the raw wool before further processing. Woolen refers to a yarn produced from carded, non-parallel fiber, while worsted refers to a finer yarn spun from longer fibers which have been combed to be parallel. Wool is commonly used for warm clothing. Other animal textiles which are made from hair or fur are alpaca wool, vicuna wool, llama wool, and camel hair, generally used in the production of coats, jackets, ponchos, blankets, and other warm coverings. Cashmere, the hair of the Indian Kashmir goat, and mohair, the hair of the North African Angora goat, are types of wool known for their softness. Used in the production of sweaters and scarves. Angora refers to the long, thick, soft hair of the Angora rabbit. Kiviat is the fine inner wool of the musk ox. Silk is an animal textile made from the fibers of the cocoon of the Chinese silkworm, which is spun into a smooth fabric prized for its softness. There are two main types of the silk: mulberry silk produced by the Bombyx mori, and wild silk such as tussar silk, wild silk. Silkworm larvae produce the first type if cultivated in habitats with fresh mulberry leaves for consumption, while tussar silk is produced by silkworms, feeding purely on oak leaves. Around 4/5 of the world's silk production consists of cultivated silk. Silk production consists of pillow covers, dresses, tops, skirts, bed sheets, curtains. Grass, rush, hemp, and sisal are all used in making rope. In the first two, The entire plant is used for this purpose, while in the last two, only fibers from the plant are utilized. Coir, coconut fiber, is used in making twine, and also in floor mats, doormats, brushes, mattresses, floor tiles, and sacking. Straw and bamboo are both used to make hats. Straw, a dried form of grass, is also used for stuffing, as is kapok. Fibers from pulpwood trees, cotton, rice, hemp, and nettle are used in making paper. Cotton, flax, jute, hemp, modal and even banana and bamboo fiber are all used in clothing. Piña, pineapple fiber, and rami are also fibers used in clothing, generally with a blend of other fibers such as cotton. Nettles have also been used to make a fiber and fabric very similar to hemp or flax. The use of milkweed stalk fiber has also been reported, but it tends to be somewhat weaker than other fibers like hemp or flax. The inner bark of the lacebark tree is a fine netting that has been used to make clothing and accessories as well as utilitarian articles such as rope. Acetate is used to increase the shininess of certain fabrics such as silks, velvets, and taffetas. Seaweed is used in the production of textiles. A water-soluble fiber known as alginate is produced and is used as a holding fiber. When the cloth is finished, the alginate is dissolved, leaving an open area. Rayon is a manufactured fabric derived from plant pulp. Different types of rayon can imitate feel and texture of silk, cotton, wool, or linen. Fibers from the stalks of plants, such as hemp, flax, and nettles, are also known as bast fibers. Hemp fiber is yellowish-brown fiber made from the hemp plant. The fiber characteristics are coarser, harsher, strong, and lightweight. Hemp fiber is used primarily to make twine, rope, and cordage. Asbestos and basalt fiber are used for vinyl tiles, sheeting and adhesives, transit panels and siding, acoustical ceilings, stage curtains, and fire blankets. Glass fiber is used in the production of ironing board and mattress covers, ropes and cables, reinforcement fiber for composite materials, insect netting, flame retardant and protective fabric, soundproof, fireproof, and insulating fibers. Glass fibers are woven and coated with Teflon to produce beta cloth, a virtually fireproof fabric which replaced nylon in the outer layer of United States space suits since 1968. Metal fiber, metal foil, and metal wire have a variety of uses, including the production of cloth of gold and jewelry. Hardware cloth, US term only, is a coarse woven mesh of steel wire, used in construction. It is much like standard window screening, but heavier and with a more open weave. Minerals and natural and synthetic fabrics may be combined, as in emery cloth, a layer of emery abrasive glued to a cloth backing. Also, sand cloth is a US term for fine wire mesh with abrasive glued to it, employed like emery cloth or coarse sandpaper. Synthetic textiles are used primarily in the production of clothing, as well as the manufacture of geotextiles. Synthetic fibers are those that are chemically constructed, therefore are unsustainable. Polyester fiber is used in all types of clothing, either alone or blended with fibers such as cotton. Aramid fiber, for example twirin, is used for flame-retardant clothing, cut protection, and armor. Acrylic is a fiber used to imitate wools, including cashmere, and is often used in replacement of them. Nylon is a fiber used to imitate silk. It is used in the production of pantyhose. Thicker nylon fibers are used in rope and outdoor clothing. Spandex, trade name Lycra, is a polyurethane product that can be made tight-fitting without impeding movement. It is used to make activewear, bras, and swimsuits. Olefin fiber is a fiber used in activewear, linings, and warm clothing. Olefins are hydrophobic, allowing them to dry quickly. A sintered felt of olefin fibers is sold under the trade name Tyvek. NGO is a polylactide fiber blended with other fibers such as cotton and used in clothing. It is more hydrophilic than most other synthetics, allowing it to wick away perspiration. Lurex is a metallic fiber used in clothing embellishment. Milk proteins have also been used to create synthetic fabric. Milk or casein fiber cloth was developed during World War I in Germany, and further developed in Italy and America during the 1930s. Milk fiber fabric is not very durable and wrinkles easily, but has a pH similar to human skin and possesses antibacterial properties. It is marketed as a biodegradable, renewable synthetic fiber. Carbon fiber is mostly used in composite materials, together with resin, such as carbon fiber reinforced plastic. The fibers are made from polymer fibers through carbonization. Fabric or yarn produced with a combination of two or more types of different fibers, or yarns to obtain desired traits. Blending is possible at various stages of textile manufacturing. Final composition is liable for the properties of the resultant product. Natural and synthetic fibers are blended to overcome disadvantage of single fiber properties and to achieve better performance characteristics and aesthetic effects such as Dvor, heather effect, cross-dyeing and stripes pattern etc. Clothing woven from a blend of cotton and polyester can be more durable and easier to maintain than material woven solely from cotton. Other than sharing functional properties, blending makes the products more economical. Union or union fabrics is the 19th century term for blended fabrics. It is no longer used. Mixture or mixed cloth is another term used for blended cloths when different types of yarns are used in warp and weft sides. Blended textiles are not new. Mashru was a 16th century fabric, is one of the earliest forms of mixed cloth, a material composed of silk and cotton. Siamwas was a 17th century cotton and linen material. Fiber composition. The fiber blend composition of mixtures of the fibers is an important criterion to analyze the behavior, properties such as functional aspects, and commercial classification of the merchandise. The most common blend is cotton and polyester. Regular blended fabric is 65% polyester and 35% cotton. It is called a reverse blend if the ratio of cotton predominates, the percentage of the fibers changes with the price and required properties. Blending adds value to the textiles, it helps in reducing the cost. Artificial fibers are less expensive than natural fibers, and adding advantage in properties of the final product. For instance, a small amount of spandex adds stretch to the fabrics. Wool can add warmth. Weaving is a textile production method which involves interlacing a set of longer threads, called the warp, with a set of crossing threads, called the weft. This is done on a frame or machine known as a loom, of which there are a number of types. Some weaving is still done by hand, but the vast majority is mechanized. Knitting, looping, and crocheting involve interlacing loops of yarn, which are formed either on a knitting needle, or on a crochet hook, together in a line. The processes are different in that knitting has several active loops at one time, on the knitting needle waiting to interlock with another loop, while looping and crocheting never have more than one active loop on the needle. Knitting can be performed by machine, but crochet can only be performed by hand. Spread toe is a production method where the toe fibers are spread into thin tapes, and then the tapes are woven as warp and weft. This method is mostly used for composite materials. Spread toe fabrics can be made in carbon, aramid and other fibers. Braiding or plaiting involves intertwining threads together into cloth. Knotting involves tying threads together and is used in making tatting and macrame. Lace is made by interlocking threads together independently, using a backing alongside any of the methods described above, to create a fine fabric with open holes in the work. Lace can be made by either hand or machine. Carpets, rugs, velvet, velour, and velveteen, referred to as pile fabrics, are made by interlacing a secondary yarn through woven cloth, creating a tufted layer known as a nap or pile. Non-woven textiles are manufactured by the bonding of fibers to make fabric. Bonding may be thermal, mechanical, chemical, or adhesives can be used. Felting involves applying pressure and friction to a mat of fibers, working and rubbing them together until the fibers become interlocked and tangled, forming an unwoven textile. A liquid, such as soapy water, is usually added to lubricate the fibers, and to open up the microscopic scales on strands of wool. Bark cloth is made by pounding bark until it is soft and flat. Textiles are often dyed, with fabrics available in almost every color. The dyeing process often requires several dozen gallons of water for each pound of clothing. Colored designs in textiles can be created by weaving together fibers of different colors, tartan or Uzbek ikat, adding colored stitches to finished fabric, embroidery, creating patterns by resist dyeing methods, tying off areas of cloth and dyeing the rest, tie dyeing, drawing wax designs on cloth and dyeing in between them, batik, or using various printing processes on finished fabric. Woodblock printing, still used in India and elsewhere today, is the oldest of these, dating back to at least 220 CE in China. Textiles are also sometimes bleached, making the textile pale or white. Isengarn, meaning iron yarn in English, is a light-reflecting, strong material invented in Germany in the 19th century. It is made by soaking cotton threads in a starch and paraffin wax solution. The threads are then stretched and polished by steel rollers and brushes. The end result of the process is a lustrous, tear-resistant yarn which is extremely hard-wearing. Since the 1990s, with advances in technologies such as permanent press process, finishing agents have been used to strengthen fabrics and make them wrinkle-free. More recently, nanomaterials research has led to additional advancements, with companies such as Nanotex and Nano Horizons developing permanent treatments based on metallic nanoparticles for making textiles more resistant to things such as water, stains, wrinkles, and pathogens such as bacteria and fungi. Textiles receive a range of treatments before they reach the end user. From formaldehyde finishes, to improve crease resistance, to biocidic finishes, and from flame retardants to dyeing of many types of fabric, the possibilities are almost endless. However, many of these finishes may also have detrimental effects on the end user. A number of disperse, acid and reactive dyes, for example, have been shown to be allergenic to sensitive individuals. Further to this, specific dyes within this group have also been shown to induce purpuric contact dermatitis. Although formaldehyde levels in clothing are unlikely to be at levels high enough to cause an allergic reaction, Due to the presence of such a chemical, quality control and testing are of utmost importance. Flame retardants, mainly in the brominated form, are also of concern where the environment and their potential toxicity are concerned. Testing for these additives is possible at a number of commercial laboratories. It is also possible to have textiles tested according to the OCOTEX certification standard, which contains limits levels for the use of certain chemicals in textiles products.